Bishop, thank you, first of all, for your powerful message this morning during the worship service.
You're welcome.
I think many people have already come up to you and expressed a word.
They have, but I slipped around in the back, so they didn't catch me.
The message you talked about, basketball, you reflected on a solid basis of Scripture, and you also talked about the general conference and the feeling that came after that event. Say a little bit more.
Well, one of the things that we've heard as we've come home and people have reported, there have been a lot of laments. We failed. We wasted time. We didn't get something done. And really, overall, for some people, just a lot of suffering. And all I wanted to point out was the biblical tradition of Jesus the Christ, who pointed out to Cleopas on the road to Emmaus that the suffering that he engaged in was redemptive suffering, that something good would come out of the failures. So I'm convinced that even though a lot of things that didn't go well with General Conference 2012, the thinking, the reflecting, the re-imaging ourselves, when we get to Portland, we're going to be very happy about that.
Now, you spoke about how the experience at General Conference, particularly the prayerful moments, were transformative for the rest of the General Conference experience.
Well, as you know, and we do this all the time, when we have worship, the moments of prayer, the moments where people can connect, or there's a theme, for example, I said at the end, has anybody been a time when you lost hope? Everybody knows something about losing hope. And then having to recoil and get up off the floor, so to speak, as did LeBron James, who cried and wept and dealt with her critiques and all the things and had to put himself back together with God's help. And then a year later, then he it seeded a success that he just happened to experience in basketball. And we, and those kinds of things happen to us in our lives, in our daily lives, in our churches as leaders when we fail. The disciples, all who failed, forsook him, fled, betrayed him, all that. Still, Jesus used those people. Their hope was rebuilt.
As we now are some 3 or 4 months post-General Conference, what are some of the sacrifices that the church should make, could make, to grow into a new future?
I'm not sure of all the things that the church should do. But one of the things that Scripture says, of course, and I know that's harder to make specific, and the Bible says over and over and over, seek first the things of God, and all these other things will be added. So while we've done very well at making our plans and coming up with specific structures, et cetera, if we work that hard at trying to pray and trying to understand and trying to use Scripture as a springing board to get clarity to God's vision, I believe that we're going to get closer to where we want to be, because I think God is not opposed necessarily to the church growing, but there may be methodology and ways that may need to change on our behalf. For example, again, you know, why did Jesus spend this time on the 7-mile walk opening up the Scriptures to these gentlemen? Because he said there's a tie between understanding how God has acted in history to how God will act in the present and how God might act in the future. So there are some lessons, there's some insights in Scripture that sometimes we miss because we've reflected ourselves and we've pondered ourselves, but there's some magic there that we can miss. But if we can mine it and apply it, then I think the church is the better off for it.
You referred to the fact that we spent a lot of time about Plan A, Plan B, Plan UMC,
yes,
and all other kinds of plans. And it's easy to plan. It's easy to focus on logistics. Much harder to step away from those and immerse ourselves in the Scriptures. How could we move away from moving the chairs around and move into the Word?
Well, first of all, I don't object to moving the chairs around, but I really picked up on when I saw in one of our advanced editions of GCA, it says when they took the survey and the delegates said that the most important question at General Conference was structure. And I just said, how could that be? So yes, structure is important and we don't want to throw that out, but it's not number one. But so far as the concerns of the folks who at least responded to that survey. So I was trying to just make sure that we just get it flipped over. God's first, you know, we're second, but in the process of carrying out what God or Christ wants, then we'll get at some of our issues, I think, because we still need to work on structure, how can we do things better, all those kinds of things. but we got to have some God insight that's a part of it as well. And at the same time, look for those God things that emerge in the midst of the things that we're doing, how God shows up and shows out. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for that. I hadn't thought about that, but it emerges. It happens.
So like the prophet, you would say there is a future with hope?
Precisely, with hope. Absolutely. Absolutely. Always. And I could not, Arthur, stay in ministry long if I didn't have continual hope. If I didn't remember the lessons from my mother and grandmother who came out of harder times that I could ever conceive, but the reason that they live even now, although my grandmother's gone, is because they found a way to stay hopeful and hope-filled. And taking those lessons, I have done the same. And hopefully I've modeled that for my children, and I've modeled that for the church, and modeled that in my episcopacy as well.
Thank you, Bishop.
You're welcome.